It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and New York City. And this is news that you can use from CarEdge for Wednesday, March 27th, with your hosts, me, Ray, and, well, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm doing great. Let's kick things off, and we are going to jump right in. Toyota is amidst another scandal. We've been covering stories with Toyota and scandals for a while now. Toyota faces multiple scandals amid record sales. This was updated back on February 7th. Let's put you to the test real quick, Pops. Do you remember the various Toyota scandals of recent memory?
Well, there's been a few. There was the...
There's a new one today, by the way. That's what we're going to get into. There's a new one
there
today.
There was the Hino truck smog scandal that goes back, I don't know, 30 years. Yep. And then there was another smog scandal, I think, within other divisions of Toyota.
Daihatsu.
Lots of Toyota executives left the company because of the scandal. I don't know. I can't keep up with all their scandals.
Well, unfortunately, there's another new one, Dad. This scandal coming in the F&I office. Of all places. What was the overview of this story? Do you remember reading it? Oh, I lost Pops. Where'd Pops go? Don't know where Pops went, but hopefully he'll be back here in just a moment. The new Toyota scandal today comes by way of automotive news. They have actually been caught in a situation where... Oh, there he is.
Yeah, what...
You just throw me for a loop today? What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't believe I touched anything, but apparently I must have.
I was just about to get into it. Go for it, Dad. What's the new Toyota scandal today?
Well, it's not so much Toyota as it is Toyota dealers, in the sense that many, I shouldn't say many, in the sense that at this particular juncture, there's a class action suit being brought against Toyota and Toyota Motor Credit based on what an F&I person was alleged to have said when selling a customer a maintenance package for $1,025. And allegedly what was said is that, well, no, you get 10 services and maintenance is handled, three major services and seven oil changes and stuff. It's $1,025. The cost of those services normally run, not that anybody in the F&I department would ever exaggerate anything, but would normally run $1,900 in total if you paid retail for every one of those services. Well, as it turns out, the $1,900 is coming in somewhere in the neighborhood between $800 and $900, which is less than what she paid for the maintenance plan that was going to save her $900. I can't imagine there was any exaggeration going on.
So that's what happened here is you've got, but this is interestingly, the lawsuit, Dad, is against Toyota Motor Corporation. It's not against the dealer. It's misleading information with regards to how much money you're actually going to save from these maintenance plans. And it is interesting. Again, Toyota is the bell at the ball. They are the stalwart. They're the company that everyone looks to as being leading the industry. This is now yet another example of Toyota kind of coming out of the crossfire. Obviously, the prior issues and challenges at Toyota were directly related to emissions scandals and the quality or safety of those Daihatsu vehicles. Yes. Now we have here in the United States, this is different, to be clear, than like the port installed accessories, which we also know plague Toyota. You and I have talked about that ad nauseum in the past. This is explicitly on misleading information about these maintenance plans, which puts into question those F&I products in general. We know that the FTC has upcoming rules that are supposed to be safeguards against customers buying products that don't actually have value.
And like I say, it falls, even though Toyota has been named in the suit and Toyota Motor Credit has been named in the suit, they're not the ones that are exaggerating what the savings may be. Perhaps they are. I don't know. I haven't seen all the supporting documents and any brochures that they've printed up for dealers to hand out to their potential customers. But it seems to me this is more of a this is tarnishing Toyota's name via what goes on at local dealerships. And, you know, when you're in the franchise business like they are, you can't control everything that gets said and everything that happens. And ultimately, if things get said that contradict what happens, then Toyota is the one that bears the brunt of it because their name's on everything. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It reminds me of a line from an old Paul Newman movie. You would have no idea, but the name of the movie was Cool Hand Luke. And the line goes something like this: "What we have here is a failure to communicate." Well, that's how it was said. It was a whatever. But that's what this boils down to. What we have here is a failure to communicate. We find a situation where the dealer might not have communicated in as clear a manner as they should have as to what the actual value of the product was that they were selling. If that makes any sense.
It does. And unfortunately, that happens day in and day out. And again, Toyota's name being dragged into it. Let's switch gears. GM Ford will reroute Baltimore shipments after bridge collapse. We're getting more and more information. Again, that was devastating. Absolutely crazy what happened yesterday. Very scary. Automakers left and right are making announcements about how they're handling the bridge collapse and what that's going to do. There's some expectation. I saw someone from Moody's dad said that we could see some momentary, you know, price inflation on autos and things like that as a result of this. I still don't think it's going to be longstanding, but I thought it was worthwhile to bring up Ford and GM reacting to, you know, figure out how to get inventory back, you know, back into customers' hands or onto dealer lots.
You know, I have read stories that suggest that the channel itself can be cleaned up in a relatively short period of time to allow the shipping lane to reopen and the container ships to continue to come in and out of the port. You know, I've heard, hey, they could be reopened in a week. It could be reopened in a month. I don't know how long it's going to take to get reopened. It will get reopened. And my suspicion is it will get reopened as quickly as humanly possible because it is such an important hub for so many different goods, not just autos, but you know, we're involved in the automotive industry. This is the largest port for the import of vehicles in the country. It impacts most of the Eastern Seaboard. Yes, you know, can they reroute things? Certainly they can. Are they set up to reroute them? Not necessarily. Are the people in place to be able to do port installed accessories and port installed repairs and port installed inspections at these, not to the same degree that they were and are at the Port of Baltimore? So there should be some interruption. It would seem to me, just in my opinion, that if any manufacturer were to allow their dealers to use this as a way to inflate pricing, considering that it's really going to be a short-term situation, that would be unconscionable. You can't use it as an excuse to raise your prices.
Totally. I completely agree. I am curious if we're going to see, let's like put it to the test really quickly. I'm going to go to caredge.com. I'm going to go to the car search. Let me log in really quickly. Bear with me, folks. Oh, I meant to click my other one. So let me log back out and then let me log back in again. But the thing that I want to look at, Dad, is actually in this area, what's going on with market-based supply. All right. So let's try this again. Log in. Let me click the right account. That one. There we go. What I want to see here, Dad, is what's a Baltimore zip code? I mean, we used to live in Baltimore, so let's do this. 20.
You think I remember? I don't remember.
895. That's DC area. Let me do that. And then we were just talking Ford and GM. So let's look at Ford. Now let's do F-150 and let's do new ones. What I'll be curious to see here, yeah, Wheaton, Maryland, that would be impacted by this, is will the day's supply, so it's at 140 right now.
Yes.
Over the next 30 days, is this meaningfully going to change from, I don't know, somewhere else on the West Coast where they likely get their vehicles brought into, like, that's to me what's going to be curious about this is, do we see some like hyper geo specific changes?
I wouldn't look at Ford per se. I would look at import brands. There's a boat on the way, a ship on the way with 800 Jaguars that were intended for the market. You know, Jaguar doesn't have a whole lot of inventory to begin with. So how will that impact things? You know, look at BMW, look at Mini, look at Audi, look at Volkswagen. Those are the ones that would really be impacted by what goes on at Baltimore.
Those will be the brands that I think we should check in on. Like, we should, here, let's do it right now so we can.
Toyota, Jim Chauvin says Toyota goes into Baltimore. So it is.
So let's do this. Well, Toyota's got the lowest inventory. Let's do a different one. Which brand? You want to do Jaguar?
Yeah.
We never talk about Jaguar on here. What do they even sell?
Something or another. Not much.
I guess the F-Pace. Wow, they don't even have that many F-Paces for sale nationwide. So if they had 800 cars coming over, holy cow. So let's see. Let's see what the day's supply is here for a Jaguar F-Pace.
Too much, I'm
wait
sure.
Wait for it. Oh, my. Oh, this is a 2025. It's a 2025.
Okay.
So it must be brand new. Holy cow. Yeah. 199 of them for sale. Four have sold in the last 45 days. Let's try a 2024.
Yeah, they probably just came out.
Exactly. Let's try a 2024. Yeah. Okay, 119 days supply in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore metro area. Let's do the same exact vehicle, and now let's go to Los Angeles. Let me find a Los Angeles. Zip code 9000 and then a number. Whoops. There we go. So now we're in Los Angeles. Wow, actually the day supply is way higher out here. But this will be the thing that I'll want to be looking at. It's like, does that meaningfully change in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area compared to what's going on, you know, here in Los Angeles? That'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain brands that will be negatively impacted if that port for the auto sector is closed for any length of time. But I'm going to assume that they'll be able to start receiving those ships, I'm guessing, within 2 weeks. So is 2 weeks enough time to create a shortage in the Mid-Atlantic area? I would think not. That's just me. Now, dealers are going to go, I think it is. Many of them will then go, well, you heard about the bridge situation.
Yeah, the bridge collapse, yeah.
Okay, and so that suddenly you'll see on the addendum the delay and, you know, whatever. They'll come up with something because, as I've often said, automobile dealership personnel are some of the most creative people on the face of the planet. But it shouldn't. And any dealer that plays that card really is doing a disservice to his customers and to his employees.
Definitely. Let's jump to the chat here and then over to another story we've got here from Austin. Good to see you, Austin. Thank you for the contribution. Negotiated for my friend on a 2024 Mazda CX-30 Carbon. $10,000 out the door, 10,000 miles per year, $349 per month, 36 months. It's, I don't understand the 10,000 OTD.
Well, my suspicion is that it's $1,000 cash.
Oh, $1,000 cash, 10,000 miles. Oh, I read the O in the OTD as another zero. Got it. The dealership has 279 cars on it. That's a lot for a Mazda dealer.
That is. Good job, though, Austin. That sounds like a very reasonable lease payment with a very reasonable limited amount of cash down for a 2024 Carbon Edition. And maybe, just maybe, if it's time for me to ever do something, I'll bring you along with me.
We do have how to negotiate a lease and all that fun stuff in our 100% free caredge.com/deal school. Dad, the other story I wanted to queue up today, this car dealership guy posted it over on X or Twitter in a very nice visual way. Car brand loyalty in 2024. This data comes from Consumer Reports. What percent of customers would buy again from the same brand? Did you see this?
I did not. You know, and forgetting Rivian, because it's such a young brand.
Why would you forget Rivian?
I'm just, because it's been around for what, 2.5, 3 years? So, you know, I think that number could be artificially high because it's been around for such a short period of time. That's a staggeringly high percentage of customers who say, yes, I would get another Rivian. Now, you know, the car I drive is a Mini. I take so much crap in the comments for driving a Mini. For an alleged car guy, why the hell does he drive a Mini? He should know better than that. But even though I know that Minis are BMW-like in the sense that they are so expensive to maintain, those people who have them love them, regardless of the cost that it takes to maintain them. And why it is, if I may, it's because it's so much more fun to drive than most other vehicles. And that's what people like about them. They don't necessarily like the cost of maintenance.
I should have known better than to pull this up. This is going to become a Mini rant, which is not the intent, but I'm happy for you to be proud, you know, prideful about being a Mini lease customer and having a Mini. Are you shocked by anything else on this, or is it just you saw the Mini and that was it?
No, well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I would have thought, personally, honestly, Lexus would have been higher up on the list. Toyota would be higher up on the list. Subaru would be higher up on the list. You know, the things on the bottom of the list, Cadillac, Chrysler, Mercedes, that doesn't shock me, especially Infiniti. That stuff doesn't shock me at all. But some of the brands that are on there that in the top eight, yeah, you look at that and you go, they must be doing something right to create this environment where their customers think highly enough of them that they would want to get another. And that's what it seems to me. That's what every one of these manufacturers should be striving for, creating such a wonderful experience, not only buying experience, but ownership experience for their customers that they would never want to consider moving to another brand. And I think that's where most manufacturers really drop the ball, in that they think the concept of customer loyalty is to give a customer that comes back $1,000 towards their next purchase. A customer loyalty, to build that, should be more than just, well, I know I'm going to get an extra $1,000 if I go get another one. Customer loyalty might be getting trinkets sent to me every 6 months or 12 months, little things to keep me abreast of the brand and what's going on and why I would want to continue my affiliation with that. And it's more than just, well, here's an extra $1,000 if you're dumb enough to come back and get another one.
Why do you think Nissan and Infiniti are so low? We know Nissan has an oversupply nationwide right now. Prices on those are affordable, but they are, you know, Nissan's only 55% of Nissan customers would buy from that brand again, 43% of Infiniti. That's because, number one and number three on the list in terms of least loyal.
I think part of it is the quality of the products being sold. That's part of it. And the other part is they don't do anything to keep their customers. You know, keeping your customers can't be just sending them an advertisement, you know, at the end of their 3-year lease saying, hey, you want to get another? There's more to building brand loyalty. Listen, you've read many more books about business than I have, but if I were to guess, there's got to be 10,000 different books on there on how to build brand loyalty. Okay. And my guess is at Nissan and Infiniti, they haven't read the first one yet. And so that's part of it. The concept, at least in my mind, and I felt this way when I was at the dealership, is I have an opportunity to create a customer. Once I've created that customer, it is now my obligation to keep that customer, to figure out creative ways to keep that customer. When we were at the mini store, and mm-hmm. we had the affiliation with the York Revolution Independent League baseball team, and we mm-hmm. were a presenting sponsor of the box level at the stadium. And what did we do every year? I mean, you came on this so many times. We had a rally for our customers, okay, to drive from our dealership using back roads up to York, Pennsylvania, to go to a game. And not only did we go to a game, and not only did we have a 50, 60 car, you know, a group of mini owners, but we, before the game, we got to parade every one of those minis around the warning track and behind home plate and back out center field. We got to drive the cars through the stadium. And then we fed the people. You know, how many people would say every year, when's the next game? When are we going up there again? That's building loyalty, those type of things. It's not just sending somebody a reminder, oh, by the way, your lease is up in 60 days. What do you want to do? And so I just think that Nissan and many, many of the manufacturers have missed the boat when they've created a customer about what it is they need to do to cultivate that customer to be a long-term customer.
Yeah, no, super interesting take. You definitely did creative things back at the dealership level. And I was pretty surprised, to be honest, when I saw that list. I was surprised no Honda or Toyota in the top eight most likely to buy back from that brand. Money does talk, Dad.
Yes.
We got some new announcements from Ford. Ford F-150 Lightning discounts reach $15,000. In March 2024. So I don't know, man. I hear you on brand loyalty and doing creative things. And at the same time, money talks. And we're seeing significant incentive spend increase to get customers in the door.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have to give $15,000 in incentives to get people to buy your vehicle that's, I don't know, $25,000 overpriced. So, yeah. I mean, if that's what it takes to keep people interested in your vehicle, all it indicates is that you've overpriced the damn thing from Jump Street. Okay. Whenever, and we see it, at all the brands. Whenever they increase the size of the incentives, it's because they have increased the MSRP beyond the comfortable reach of the people that they had intended to sell it for. I have said many, many times that MSRP is just like a number that the manufacturer picks. Every manufacturer gets a financial statement from their dealers every month that shows what the average transaction price is on every model. And so every manufacturer knows what those average transaction prices are. So if something has an MSRP of $65,000, but the average transaction price is $53,000, and they know that. Why don't they just price the car at $53,000 and be done with it? Okay? All they're doing when they have a $15,000 incentive on a Ford Lightning is admitting that it is overpriced. That's all. That's all they've done. So, yeah, dollars work.
You want another one?
Sure, I'm on a roll.
Actually, let's do the ad lib first.
Really? You got to be kidding me.
Fisker slashes EV prices as much as 39% in fight for survival. The biggest cut applies to top-end version of the Ocean crossover. Fisker will slash the price by $24,000, a 39% discount. The Fisker vehicles are those that have been quoted as feeling nauseous or nausea-inducing as you drive them, and Fisker has been looking for another automaker to scoop them out. So, yeah, big price cuts in the EV market.
Yeah, what's their stock down to? It was, I think, 8 or 9 cents the other day. Not high. You talk about penny stocks when they're single digit penny stocks. That's pretty bad. This will be, if I'm not mistaken, Henrik Fisher's third or fourth bankruptcy in an attempt to produce automobiles. He has some interesting designs. I thought when I first saw the Ocean, I thought, that's an interesting looking EV. He has yet to prove that he has the ability to produce the vehicle that matches the designs. And what I mean by that, produce the vehicle in such a way that there's a market for it. Okay, that the underpinnings of that vehicle work as well as the design of the vehicle does. And so, some people are just destined to be written about in the automotive history books as great thinkers who actually couldn't produce a successful vehicle. Henrik Fisker could be, if this is the third or fourth failure, at the top of that list.
I mean, really, at least the CEO is not too far behind him, but let's jump to the chat.
Wait a second. Fisker stock today, 2.4 cents a share. 2.4 cents a share. Zach, buy it up. No. We could own the company.
No financial advice on this channel. Mark here from earlier, Dad, Rivian was founded in 2009. So you said Rivian was founded only a couple of years ago. It was founded in 2009. Wait, so we're going to fact check that one.
Wait a second. When did they offer their first vehicle for sale?
I'm just saying they were founded in 2009.
I don't care when they were founded. When did they offer their first vehicle for sale?
5 years ago, maybe? 4 years ago?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Call it 5 years ago. And here's the real key. How many vehicles in operation does Rivian have?
The survey was, would you go and buy from that brand again? That was the survey.
I get it, but you look at something like Rivian that, might have 50,000 vehicles in operation and compare it to another company that might have 20 million vehicles in operation.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
So that was my point. They haven't been around long enough to get a real sense, a long-term sense, as to what it's going to be.
From Austin. Thank you, Austin. Happy to consider joining the Car Edge team. We're not hiring for any roles at the moment, Austin, but if we are, I'll be sure to announce it here on the channel. From Chris, why does Ford have no incentives on their F-250s? I know the Super Duties had been in relatively low supply. They were actually being marked up even as recently as like 6-8 months ago. That being said, I think you can get F-250s well below MSRP nowadays. And I think there probably are going to be regional incentives that come as inventory continues to build up. But Chris, the incentives, obviously, you can see like on the F-150 Lightning, are significantly higher for those vehicles that they can't sell. So keep track of market day supply, inventory levels, and that'll indicate whether or not there will be incentives. And then we've got from Dennis, skeet, skeet, bang, bang. Don't know what that means, but thank you, Dennis. We appreciate it.
Skeet, skeet, bang, bang. Yeah, I like that.
From Cash Koi. Thank you, Cash Koi. Toyota, Honda. It's for people to go from point A to point B while being bored to death. Nissan equals CVT problem. Infiniti equals 15-year-old platform. An interesting take on why they landed where they did in the customer satisfaction poll from Consumer Reports.
Yeah, well, there you have it. Sometimes you don't need me.
From Chloe Boat, good to see you, Chloe Boat. Thank you for contributing and being a part of our community. And we'll wrap here, Dad, with Bill James. I just received this from Seeking Alpha's newsletter. Recent data indicates that 850,000 cars and light trucks pass through Baltimore's harbor each year, more than any other port in the United States. That was the comment you made earlier. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. The transit into that port is blocked for the auto industry.
So, but I do believe that they will move heaven and earth to get that channel cleaned out, opened up, so that ships can come in and out of that port. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen within 2 weeks. It is too important of a port for to not have an all hands on deck approach to getting it solved and opened up.
Let's see what happens. Hey, CarEdge.com, our end of month promotion is running out in just a few days. 4 days, 11 hours, 28 minutes, and 30 seconds from right now. Wow. We have all sorts of free resources back on CarEdge.com as well, up in the top right under resources. If we can help you with anything, folks, please, please, please get in touch with us. Really, really, really proud of what we're building and really excited to help our community. That being said, we'll be back tomorrow at our normal time. Pops, when will that be?
I believe that would probably fall around noon Eastern here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and once again in New York City tomorrow. And then absolutely. And then I am not 100% sure, but are we taking Friday off for Good Friday?
No, I'll be working. You working?
Yeah. If you want, I'll be here.
I'm working.
Okay.
We're working Friday, folks. We'll see you for Good Friday.
Yes! Boom! That excites the hell out of me.
I love you, Pops. Enjoy the afternoon. Oh, wait a second.
There you go, buddy. I got the chair up too high, so it's harder to do the chair dance. But, I just did tweak my back. Oh, jeez.
I tweaked my back yesterday. I'm sorry, Dad. I've been taking ibuprofen. It helps.
I'm not. Before we build purple, let me just say that bed. I mean, honest to God, I don't wake up in any pain. That purple mattress is the best. And I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I will say this. It is definitely for me. I sleep better. I wake up without pain until I get in the chair and start trying the chair dance. So send that invoice over to Purple Mattress.
Who would have ever thought that you would live stream you chair dancing on the internet? Let's just sit on that. We'll come back to that tomorrow. I love you, Dad. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us. I'll see you tomorrow, pups.
I love you too, Lance.